Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad to be with you today and continuing our study in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Today we're getting into chapter 6 and we're talking about going on to maturity. Well, how the church in America, and I would say around the world, needs to hear this message from the writer of Hebrews about the need to go on. The New King James says perfection. The word means to maturity, to reach, to grow up into Christ and to become Christ-like and become mature in our faith. And I'm going to start reading in chapter 5, verse 13. We left off here talking yesterday about Melchizedek, but I want to begin reading at verse 12. And the writer of Hebrews says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." And of course, he's saying that you're still infants, you're still babies spiritually. You're having to be fed milk, not able to give you solid food at this time. And the writer of the Hebrews is very concerned about it. In verse 13, he says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Yeah, Paul talks about people being babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians, I believe in chapter 3. Verse 14, he says, "But solid food," he's talking about spiritual food, "belongs to those who are full age." That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And remember, when the writer wrote this, there was no division between chapters and verses. So don't click your mind off between the chapters and verses. Just keep reading. Get in the sense of the flow with which the writer wrote it. And verse 6, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ." Elementary, the beginning principles. Just like in school, there is kindergarten, there is first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and you go on. Hey, when you're in the sixth grade, you don't leave behind. You don't discard what you learned in the first grade. No, you build on it. And in our Christian walk, God is wanting to build line upon line, precept upon precept, as we grow up and become more and more like Him, transform into His image. There's a passage in Ephesians where Paul talks about this. And he says that that God placed in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says, for the maturing, one translation says, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, or to a mature adult, spiritual being, follower of Christ. Oh, how we need mature believers, powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ in the world today. Now, as we read on here in verse 6, I want you to remember who he's writing to. It's called the Epistle to the Hebrews because he's writing to Jews in the first century. And as we talked about in earlier episodes, but this is a great reminder, this is his primary audience are Jews who are being tempted to give up their belief in Jesus as the Messiah and just going back to being good Jews. Because the Jews had an agreement with Rome. Rome gave them the freedom to continue to practice their faith and their religion and their traditions. That's the reason they had their temple and their sacrificial system and everything there in Israel. And they built synagogues in different cities of the Roman Empire. And as long as Christianity was considered just a part, a sect of Judaism, they enjoyed those protections. But as the gospel spread and began to spread among Gentiles outside of the synagogue, outside of Judaism, and then came under persecution, those followers of Christ did not have those protections that the Jews had in their agreement with Rome. And so Jewish followers of the Messiah, they were being targeted as well as the Gentile believers. And many were being tempted to just give up their belief in the Messiah. Life could be a whole lot easier. And this is one of the purposes, perhaps the main purpose of this letter, is to encourage and to warn, no, do not do that. This is serious. What you have is so much better and greater and far beyond the old covenant and the law and all of this. What we have in Christ, the Messiah, is so much greater and beyond that. Now, getting in chapter 6 in verse 1, he's going to give them a warning. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, the Messiah, let us go into maturity, perfection. Not laying again the foundation. When you're building a house, you don't just keep laying the foundation over and over again. You lay the foundation for them to build upon it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God's. So he's listing some things that he considers, that the writer considers. I realize that some people believe that that this was written by Priscilla. I personally, I don't know who wrote it, but if I had to guess, I would guess the Apostle Paul. I think there's so much here that reflects him and the historical situation. He talks about Timothy being with him and greeting those in Italy, which would be Rome and so on. But anyway, what we want to focus on today is going on into maturity, growing up in Christ. And not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. In other words, the writer is saying here that he feels like he's having, out of necessity for where they are, to continue to spoon feed them with milk. Because they're still such babes and infants in Christ, he's not able to help them to grow and to give them the food that they require to grow up and become mature and strong Christians in Jesus. He says, and this will we do if God permits. Now, verse 4, this is the warning. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. And that would be, I would say, enlightened to the gospel. When a person, they hear the gospel and their heart is enlightened, their mind, oh yes, I believe that, and they respond to the gospel and they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And have tasted the heavenly gift. Wow, yeah, they've truly been born again. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come in and filled their lives. And have tasted the good word of God. The word of God has become a joy in their life. They have filled their lives with God's word. Just like Jeremiah once said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, I pray for everyone listening today that God's word will become the joy and rejoicing of your heart. But these people he's talking about, they have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Ah, he's talking about the manifestations and gifts of the Holy Spirit. They have seen, they've experienced God's power flowing through them and God using them in powerful ways. Now, if someone such as this is not some baby Christian. This is someone who has had some experience with God. And he says, if they fall away, it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again to repentance. And I don't think that's because that God will not accept them, but there comes a point when people, and I'm talking about mature believers, I'm not talking about a new Christian that kind of falls away and backslides and so on. I'm talking about a mature believer, someone who has truly known the Lord and has walked with Him, experienced His power, experienced the goodness of His presence, and experienced the joy of knowing His word and promises. So this is a person that has advanced in God. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now, I do not believe that anybody has to go around worried about losing their salvation. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, I've seen people get saved, backslide, come back to church, get saved again, backslide, come back, get saved again. Dick Mills, who was mightily used of God, he's gone on to heaven now. He once said he was making this point. He said when he was 16 years old, he got saved 52 times. My friends, we do not lose our salvation like that. We do not lose our salvation just because we failed, because we fall into temptation, or because we sin. We do not lose our salvation. God is a very merciful and gracious God. But the warning here is to someone with their eyes wide open. They have known God. They have walked in His ways. They know how to overcome. But for whatever reason, they fall away. They turn away. And as I'm talking about this, I think of Billy Graham. And I wish I could think of the person that he started out in the ministry with together. And I'll just go here and see if I can bring it up. So Billy Graham, in the 1940s, he's a young preacher. And he and another young preacher, they started out together. And they preached in conferences together, and especially with Youth for Christ, which is a nationwide organization seeking to reach the youth on college campuses and so on. And this person, let me see if I can find. Yeah, here it is. I believe this is probably it. Yeah, defining moment. This is such an incredible story, how Billy Graham and this other young man that started out together, how their lives went in different directions very sadly. His name was Charles Templeton. And they traveled together and they preached together in the mid-1940s. Templeton eventually went to Princeton Theological Seminary, where he was exposed to liberal theologians who questioned the authority of Scripture, the deity of Christ, and they began to question all of these orthodox doctrines of the Bible. And he told Billy Graham, this was when they were young men in their 20s, he said, our faith is flimsy. And he urged Billy Graham to study at a top seminary. And when Billy Graham declined, Templeton accused him of intellectual suicide. Billy Graham, all of these things bothered him, and he finally had to get alone and have it out with God. And he went to a Christian retreat center called Forest Home, which is tucked away in the Southern California hills of the San Bernardino Mountains. And there he wandered among the tall pines, and he prayed and wrestled with all of these misgivings that had been put in his mind by Charles Templeton, who had gone very liberal and gone away from what they had been walking in and preaching in. Well, Billy Graham, as he struggled and wrestled with God and with his feelings and all of these questions that he had, he finally sat on a tree stump and he opened his Bible on a big rock. He prayed, he thought, he pondered, and then from the deepest depths of his being, he made a defining decision that would change him for the rest of his life. He decided right then and there he was going to believe the Bible come hell or high water. He may not understand some parts and unable to explain other parts, but from that day forth, he made a commitment that he would forever believe that the Bible is God's word to mankind. You've seen him preach, have you noticed how he always would say the Bible says? He would hold the Bible up. Hey, therein the late 1940s, he made that life-changing commitment that he was going to believe God's word from then on. His whole ministry changed after that. His ministry exploded. What happened to Charles Templeton? He moved to Canada and worked in the Canadian media and died an atheist. Wow. What a sad situation. I think this passage, and almost I can feel a weepiness inside as I talk about it. This passage is a warning to the Charles Templetons who have tasted the good word of God, even preached his word, and then turn away and say, oh, I don't think there's anything to it, and turn away and walk away from it all. There is a warning here. And it wasn't like God wouldn't take him back, but he turned away. His heart became hard, and he had no desire to go back and retrieve what he had lost. Wow, two lives, and what a contrast between the two. All my friends, don't ever turn back. If you fall, and we all fall short of the glory of God, but keep rising up, keep getting up. And as we talked about it in an early episode, keep going back, keep coming boldly to the throne of grace, and finding grace to help in the time of need, because we have a great and faithful high priest who will never let us down. Keep running to Jesus. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast.